Christmas is a celebration of Jesus Christ, who is the greatest gift ever given.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Now, as we said, this is our church family living room here this morning, and we're going to celebrate Christmas together as a family here as we share this meal, but also as we share in the wonderful good news of Jesus, who is the greatest gift that's ever been given. You recall we've said that Christmas is a celebration, that it's a celebration of the greatest what? It's a celebration of the greatest story that has ever been told. What is the greatest story that's ever been told? Who's been paying attention? In one word, it's what?
Jesus.
Well, Jesus, and what? The, starts with a G.
Gospel,
that's right. The gospel is the greatest story that has ever been told. The story of creation and fall, redemption and the restoration of all things through Christ. Christmas is also then a celebration of the greatest humility that's ever been undertaken when the Son of God humbled himself and came into our world. It was obedient, even obedient unto death on a cross. It's also a celebration of the greatest love that's ever been demonstrated, the greatest love that's ever been demonstrated with the coming of Jesus into our world. And then today, then, a celebration of the greatest gift ever given in Jesus. So we're going to look today, then, in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, about Jesus, about this greatest gift that has ever been given. We're going to use the New Living Translation today because I think it helps us to see clearly and understand clearly the message of what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. First, though, before we look at that passage, a little context here. We've seen that in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is very clearly laying out the gospel, the good news of eternal life in Christ. Now, of course, before we can understand that good news, we must understand the bad news. And the bad news is that all human beings have sinned, that all have fallen short of God's holy standards. But the worst news is that as a result of that, we are all under God's judgment for our sin. But the worst news of all, though, is that there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it. That is, that none of our good works can save us. But, and here's the good news, the gospel means good news, you know, God has done something about it for us by sending a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who rescues us then from his own judgment. And through faith in Jesus, then, we're forgiven, we're made righteous and holy, and we're given the precious gift of eternal life. So Jesus is the greatest love ever demonstrated. He justifies by faith. He makes peace. He gives grace. He produces hope. He gives the Holy Spirit. He died for the ungodly while we were yet sinners, and he saved us from judgment, and he reconciles us forever. He makes us right with God forever. St. Paul then goes on to explain that Jesus is the second Adam who reversed the curse of the first Adam. Listen to here to what he says here in Romans chapter 5. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death, and so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. But still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin, for Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death, and through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I guess to reflect for a minute on the first Adam and the second Adam. How many of you have heard Jesus referred to before as the second Adam? I mean, yep, the second Adam or the last Adam, sometimes called that. I wonder, well, that's strange. I never knew that. And by the way, I'm not making this up. This is right out of the scriptures here and in 1 Corinthians 15 and some other passages as well. But the scriptures refer to Jesus as sometimes the second man or the second Adam or the last Adam, as opposed to what? To the first man, the first Adam. This is the second Adam. The last Adam. So what does it mean when it refers to Jesus in that way? Well, in this way, it's the way that the scriptures are addressing the fact that this first Adam, our forefather, he was a representative of the entire human race. And that through him, who was disobedient, Adam, we have all inherited a sin nature. And because of the first Adam, the one man, the many were made sinners. But now through Jesus, the second Adam, who is the second representative of the human race, the many have been made righteous instead. So what is the legacy of the first Adam? You might think of this as the gift. We're going to celebrate the gift of the second Adam. What was the gift, if you will, of the first Adam? The legacy of him was sin. Which means what? That we have all turned away from God's righteous and holy law. We're by nature sinners. And because we are by nature sinners, we sin. We do things that are against the law of God. See, the first Adam was disobedient, and his sin brought death and condemnation, not only on him, but the entire human race, as we've all followed in his footsteps of disobedience. So when he sinned, sin entered the world, and his sin brought death, God's judgment on that. And everyone has sinned. And even before the law of Moses was given, people were still sinners by nature. And because they violated the law that was written on their hearts, in their conscience, they proved themselves sinners. And so they came under condemnation or God's judgment. So the scripture tells us then that Adam, the first Adam, he was a type or a symbol. The second Adam then was very different. Clearly there was a huge difference between the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus. The first Adam was disobedient, bringing death and condemnation, God's judgment into the world. But the gift of the second Adam is different. It's not like that at all. He has brought obedience and righteousness, holiness, and he brings with him life and God's grace, not condemnation and judgment. So this second Adam then brings these wonderful gifts of righteousness, of life, and of grace into the world. Righteousness is what? Right standing with God. It's holiness in our nature, but also in our character. It's life. It's eternal blessing in God's presence. It's grace, eternal kindness and favor for us, undeserving sinners. And through Jesus, he triumphed over sin and death. See, God gave his law so that we'd see the truth about our nature, about our sinfulness. But Jesus fulfilled his own righteous requirements of the law and gives us this gift of perfect obedience and grace forever and ever. So we've said then that Jesus, he is the greatest gift ever given. And I'd like us then to reflect on that this morning and celebrate him here this morning. Now, I need a volunteer, a young volunteer. See, I need a young volunteer. So let's see. I think we have one back here. Do we have one here? No, a little reluctant. We need a willing young volunteer. Okay, can you come up? Because I see that there's a present under the tree, and I'm getting too old to bend that far down to pick it up. So I wondered, can you come up and get this? You want to bring this up and bring this gift? Yeah, sure. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, come on up. There's a present under the tree that I'd like for you to get for us. Can you come up? You see that present right under there, that gold box right there? That's it. Thank you for bending all the way down there for me. Now you have to... You know what? That present is for you. But it's not only for you, though, so I'm going to ask you to bring it back to me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kids don't only say the darndest things, they do the darndest. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming and get that for us. You can go sit down now. Yeah. But you see, here is a gift. You know, when I was a kid, we grew up, we would eat breakfast in our living room, and then we would open up our Christmas presents there on Christmas morning. Do we have any Christmas Eve present openers here? Some of you? Okay. Well, we were always a Christmas. How about the Christmas morning gift openers here, right? So I guess we're kind of combining it here. We're opening them on the morning of Christmas Eve, right? So we're going to kind of bring in the best of both worlds to us here today. So we then would sit in our living room, eat breakfast, and open our gifts. So you're having breakfast, and now we're going to open this wonderful gift. And the label on, as you can see, a very professionally done label on here that you can see. It says, to all people everywhere from God. Now, I wonder, what could this be? What could this be in here? Let's open this up, and let's see. Cindy, would you pull this out of here for me and tell me that? Oh, what does that say?
Jesus.
It says Jesus. Oh, okay. So you can keep that. Yeah, you can keep Jesus, right? Or actually, he's going to keep you. That's more theologically accurate, right? Exactly. He'll keep you. So let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about this greatest gift that's ever been given. And I want to hear you preach to me here this morning as well. I said this is going to be an interactive message here. But first, let's just reflect a little bit about this gift of Christ. Well, let's talk about how the Bible describes Jesus. First, we're going to talk about how the Bible describes Jesus, and then we're going to talk about some of the specific gifts that Jesus brings to us. So he's God's gift to us, and then he gives us gifts. So let's see. First of all, he is described as the great I am. What does that mean? That he is, well, he is the eternal God who is and was and always forever be the great I am. He didn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He just simply is. He is I am. Bible also describes Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, wait a minute. You just said he doesn't have a beginning or end. How is he the beginning and the end? Well, he doesn't have a beginning and an end, but he is the beginning and the end of what? Of everything, of the creation, of you, of me, of all that has been made. He is the beginning of it all, and he is the end of it all. He made it all, and he is the purpose for all, that everything is ultimately for him and through him for his glory. And then he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We read that. What does that mean? That so that we think we have some pretty powerful people in our world. We still have some kings, but usually what? We have some dictators now, too. But we have presidents and prime ministers and all of that. Well, who are all of they compared to the sovereign ruler of the universe? They are what? He's the ruler over them all, right? And the only power that anybody has in this world comes from God, and they're only allowed to have that power by God. But he is the ultimate ruler over all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what? This is just going to keep getting better and better, by the way, here, these descriptions of what we have here. I see else. Oh, he is the Word. John says that he is the Word, which means what? He is God's expression or revelation of himself. When we want to communicate, we can communicate in a lot of different ways. But probably one of the best ways that we can communicate is what? Is through our language, through the spoken word. Well, Jesus is the very embodiment of God's message, God's word, God's revelation to us. In the Old Testament, the Word of God, now that Word of God, God's revelation, has taken on flesh, has revealed God supremely in Jesus. He is also Emmanuel. We read that a little earlier in Matthew, right? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Boy, isn't that a wonderful phrase? Just to contemplate God with us. And he is the image of the invisible God. So there's what? So Jesus, the people could see him. They could touch him. See, God is spirit. God is invisible. He is spirit. But Jesus was visible, was physical, was tangible. So he is the image. He is the exact representation of God, of who is spirit then. Also, you know what? There's still a little bit more. He is the Son of Man. You know, that was Jesus' favorite description of himself as the Son of Man. Meaning what? That he was the Son of God. But he was also the Son of Man because he identified with us. He is one of us. He was made one of us, the Son of Man. He is the Messiah and the Christ. Messiah and Christ, they mean the same thing. Messiah is the Hebrew word. Christ is the Greek New Testament word. They both mean the anointed one. That is the one who's been set apart with a special task. And he had a very special task, didn't he? Well, that special task was his name, Jesus, means God saves, right? And so his task as the anointed one was to save. So he is the Savior. And he is the Lamb of God. A lamb was what? Was a sacrifice that was offered up. Well, he is the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. And then also, he is the bread of life. We've had some bread. Anybody have some bread here this morning from back there? Well, you know what? There's a better bread. Oh, that was pretty good. I'll grant you that. That was good. But there's a better bread than that. And that is the bread of life, eternal life, which is Jesus. He is the light of the world. We sang that this morning, didn't we, Cindy? Didn't we, Cindy? We sang that he is the light of the world who stepped down into the darkness of our world and showed us the truth about us, about the darkness in this world. But he's the light that shines in that, who brings hope and understanding. He is the resurrection and the life. It's a wonderful verse, isn't it, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And everyone who believes in me will never what? Will never die. But even if we do die physically, we will live. Yet we will live spiritually forever, right? And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to God the Father. He is the truth, and he is the life everlasting. And then one other description for us here is he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. What does it mean when the scripture says he's the author of our faith? He planned it. He wrote it out. You know, nothing has taken God by surprise. Nothing ever will take God by surprise. But you see, he's the author of your salvation. He planned it. And he wrote it all out. And he brought you to himself. And he's the finisher. So he's the origin or the beginning of your faith. But he's also what? The finisher. He's the one who's going to bring it to completion. He's not going to leave any of us hanging. Amen. The author and the finisher of our faith, and he's the good shepherd. Right? Shepherd would what? Would faithfully care for the needs of a sheep. He would feed them. He would watch over them, protect them, lead them into pastures, protect them from the wolves, bind up their wounds. Right? He's the good shepherd. He is the Prince of Peace. Isn't that a wonderful expression for him? That he has brought peace, peace with God, but he also gives his peace. He said, peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. It's a whole different kind of peace, isn't it? And he's our high priest who is interceding for us, praying for us before the throne of the Father. And he is the head of the church. Who is the real head of this church or any church? It's not any person or council or board. It's Jesus, right? He is the head of the church. So those are some of the descriptions of Jesus. I'd like us then to look here now at some of these gifts of Jesus. What does he bring us here? Let's see. I told you this is a little interactive here. Who'd like to pull this first one? I'm zooming in on you, Lynn. That's what you get for making eye contact. Never make eye contact, by the way, with a speaker. Because that means you're gonna have to talk. So you want to pull that out there and tell me what's that? Tell me what that says.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Okay, so forgiveness.
Yeah, I didn't say that. Right.
I wrote forgiveness, didn't
yeah.
I?
Forgiveness.
Well, that's true. It is forgiveness, but it is forgiveness, isn't it? Yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way. You see, you're teaching me. Oh, you're instructing me here today. So, what does that mean, Lynn? When it says that we are forgiven, that means what?
That means that all the sins that we do and are slave to are forgiven. Yeah. And we have eternal life because of it.
Is there any judgment for anything we've ever done?
No.
No. Well, wait a minute. Well, what about tomorrow? And what about the next day? Or what about a year from now? Are
we
those?
Need to ask for repentance daily.
Mm-hmm. But will we ever face judgment for our sin?
No.
No, because Jesus has taken that judgment and we have forgiveness, right? Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to bring consequences into our lives if we're disobedient. But we will never face eternal judgment because of it, because Jesus has absorbed it. All right. Let's see. Who's next here? Scott, you want to take that one for me and tell me what it says?
Peace with God.
Peace with God. Oh, no, we looked at this last week here in our message here. We said peace with God. That means what? We're no longer at war. God is no longer at war with us, right? That he has made peace. Remember we said that technically speaking, do you know the war in Korea is technically speaking is still going on? There never was peace. It was a ceasefire. Basically, we just agreed to, you know what, we're going to stop killing each other. But the war actually is still going on with North Korea, between North and South. Peace was never made. Well, there is no ceasefire between holy God and sinful man. The war's over. We have peace with God. Right. Let's see. How about Sherry? She's carefully avoiding eye contact, but it's too late. What do we have there?
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Okay. Acceptance. What does that mean? That what? That God has completely accepted you as you are. You know, there's an old expression I think is really, this is what, that God loves us so much. He loves us and accepts us exactly as we are. But he loves us so much, he doesn't want us to stay that way though, right? But he still accepts us. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, he accepts you completely in the beloved. That's good news, isn't it? Okay. I've been favoring the front. We're going to have to move a little more. We'll go a little more toward the middle and the back here. But Tony, who's also carefully avoiding eye contact, is going to pull that one out. And what does it say?
Holiness.
Holiness. Okay. Which means what? That we are no longer sinners in God's eyes. Did you know that? Now, I know that we still sin, don't we? Because we still have that sin nature. But God's gift to us is holiness. That he sees us as right and holy in his eyes. And the day will come when we will be, in fact, what we already are by God's gift. Holiness. No, the day is going to come when you will never sin again. And we will live consistent with that new holy nature that has been given to us as God's gift. It's wonderful news, isn't it? So, Carol, would you like to take that next one right there? Tell me what that says.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Which is what? God's favor and blessing forever and ever. No longer subject to death, judgment, condemnation, but life. Now, the body still dies, doesn't it? And unless Jesus comes to snatch us up, we will all die physically. But none of us will ever die spiritually. We'll never face condemnation and judgment because we will have eternal life in his presence. So it's not just duration forever and ever, but it's also, it's the quality of that life. It's a life of blessing. It's eternal life as opposed to eternal death, eternal judgment then. That's a wonderful gift. And then, we have one right here. Would you like to read that for us?
Adoption.
Adoption. Oh, that's one of the gifts that we have in Jesus, that we have been adopted, which means what? Adopted is sometimes if maybe you were adopted by your parents, that you become their child. You weren't born to them, but you become their child, and you have all of the rights and the privileges of being a child of those parents and being in that family. So we then have been adopted into God's family. We're children of God with all of the rights and the privileges that come with that. And let's see. Matt, I need you to take this one. What's that one?
Every spiritual blessing.
Every spiritual blessing. You know, I think that's my favorite one of all of them. Actually, they're all pretty good. Yeah, but you know why I like that one? It says it right there in Ephesians that in Christ we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, which means what? God has thought of everything. He's thought of everything. And there is nothing good that he has withheld from us in Christ. There's nothing. It's just like God isn't going to say one day, oh, I wish I would have also done that for them. I wish I also would have given you this or done that for you. He's thought of it all. And if it's good, he's given it to you in Christ. He's given you every spiritual blessing then. How about this one right here? Want to read that one for me? What does that one say?
Access to the throne of grace.
Access to the throne of grace. Anybody here need a little grace in your life? I know a few of us, right? You're looking at one right here. That means what? When we need God's help, God's mercy, and God's kindness, we are invited to go before the throne of grace anytime. And we can go there because we deserve it? No, but because Jesus is worthy and because we have been united with him by faith, we can go before him, before the throne of grace then. Let's see. We need someone back here. I'm staring at him right now. He's making eye contact and he's going to do it right there. You want to pull that one out for us? What does that one say? Sovereign wisdom and good purpose. You know where I get that one from? Romans 8:28. That says what? That all things work together for the good of those who love God. So that God is in charge of your life. He's in charge of my life. And when we are aligning ourselves with him and his purposes for our lives, he's going to cause everything, even the bad stuff, to work together for good in our life. Now, this isn't saying that everything that happens to us is good. It isn't. But what it's saying is that when we're submitted to him and trusting him, even the bad stuff, he's going to bring good out of it and work it for good in our lives. And that's a wonderful promise then. Let's see. Cindy, I already picked on you. How about one of the soon-to-be newlyweds right here? What does that one say? Hope. Oh, I was hoping you would get that one, Kirby. No, actually, no. You see, now that's one way. I didn't know if you would or wouldn't. Now, when we say Bible, when we say hope in the Scriptures, it doesn't mean something that may or may not happen. It means what? Something that definitely will happen, just hasn't happened yet. And what is our hope? What is our hope in Christ? Eternal life, the completion of our salvation, the resurrection of the body, living forever in his presence on a new heaven, on a new earth. Amen. That is our hope.
Another thing is, hope gives promise that we see our loved ones again.
And it's a promise we'll see our loved ones again. That's right. Absolutely. Well, you know what? You're begging to take the next one then, aren't you? What you get for speaking up. Don't make eye contact and don't talk. Don't speak up.
Resurrected body.
Resurrected body. I think we've got a good choice for that one, isn't it? Yeah. See, because God has made us, as human beings, we have both a material and an immaterial side, a body and a soul or spirit, right? And so, God hasn't just saved our souls, he saved our bodies too. And those are going to be resurrected in glory, just like the body of Jesus. And in fact, he's not only redeeming human beings, but he's restoring the whole world, the whole earth. It's going to be a new earth. And we will live on this new earth as physical men and women with resurrected bodies. You know, there's one last one here. Who wants the last one? Let's see. Let's see. Me? Okay, you know what? Shall we let the one who got the present and started it all bring us that? Okay, let's see that. There, that one is yours. Can Mommy read that for us? Can you say what that says? Yeah, I know, it's a tough one. What does it say?
Eternal reward.
Eternal reward. Eternal reward. That means what? Did you know that what you do in this life, God sees, God knows, and he's going to reward it. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, nothing I do matters. It's not going to make any difference. It may feel like that sometimes, but God sees it, and God's going to reward it forever. What an amazing thing. So that's why the scripture tells us what? Not to live for the things of this life, the things of this world, but to live for the things that last forever. Because God is going to reward. He's going to give us reward forever. Oh, you know what? I said that was the last one, but actually, that's not true. There was one more card in there. Let me pull this one out here. Jeff, you want to pull this one out and read it for us? Tell us what it says.
Well, so what?
It says, so what? See, this is the low-tech version of the of up screen, right? Right? So what? So what? In light of all of this, so what? What difference does this make to you and to me? Let's reflect on that for a moment. Wanted to remind us again that what? That Christmas is a celebration of Jesus Christ, who is the greatest gift ever given. So I want to ask you then, have you received the greatest gift ever given? It's not something that we don't have to work hard to get this gift. If something is a gift, it just means what? It is freely given. It's freely given. But in order to have the gift, what do you have to do? You have to reach out and receive it, to take it. And the scriptures tell us that we do that by faith, by simply opening up the arms of our heart, if you will, to receive that by faith, to believe, to say thank you, to admit the truth about who we are as sinners, to turn from that, to acknowledge that Jesus is the resurrection of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He died for our sins. He rose again. And that through faith in him is forgiveness and eternal life. That's received by faith. It's that simple to do that. So I'd ask you, have you received that gift, that greatest gift that's ever been given? Simply received by faith. You know, there's a great need for hope in this world and in this community, isn't there? You know, just did you know that just this last week here in Wonder Lake, this is a problem, not just here, but all across our country. But you know, here in Wonder Lake, this past week, there were 3 fatal overdoses in 6 days, right here in Wonder Lake. You know what that tells me? Is that tells me there's a need for hope out there. There's a need for hope, isn't there? And this is the greatest hope that's ever been offered. This greatest gift that's ever been given in Jesus. So pray for our community. Pray for those families. There are families right here in this church who've been affected by that, including this week by this. So pray for those families. Pray for this community. But pray that people will come to hear the message of hope and to receive the gift of hope in Jesus. So if you've received that gift of hope, then let's celebrate. Let's celebrate here today. I know we all have our Christmas traditions, and those, that's okay. But remember, though, it's really all about Jesus, isn't it? And it's about the greatest gift that's ever been given.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit WLBibleChurch.org.